Welcome to Influential Visions. Here we interview futuristic leaders who share their deep industry knowledge and business experience with you, ensuring you have your finger on the pulse and your eyes wide open. Here is your host, Nathaniel Schooler.
I am very, very privileged today because I am joined by Nicolas Babin, who is over in Bordeaux, and we've done numerous interviews together. He is, in fact, now an EU digital ambassador. So he's very, very close to what's actually happening with technology these days. He's also been in technology and, in fact, AI and robotics and more since the early days. So, you know, we're talking to someone here who is going to share lots of value. We're going to have a really interesting conversation, as we always do. And it's a real joy, as usual, Nicolas, to speak to you, to be honest.
I'm definitely sharing that joy, Nat. It's always a pleasure to talk to you, always.
Thank you. Thank you. So, yeah, I mean, I think we should talk really about technology tips, because there are a lot of people that are sort of a bit lost with technology, and they might find that they are a bit stuck. Perhaps have a job that needs a lot more technology than it used to. So what do you think? I mean, it's a big topic, isn't it? We could sort of segment it into lots of different job roles, couldn't we, I suppose? But what do you think?
Well, we can definitely segment it as different job roles. We can also segment it as different industries. Basically, technology has been created for the benefits of humans. So what I want to say today is I have a very positive message to everyone is don't be scared. Changes are difficult, and it's all about change management here that we're talking about. Every single job is evolving, is transforming. Just think about teachers. They suddenly have AI coming in, like ChatGPT, generative AI coming in and helping students to think with machine, think quote unquote, because there's no intelligence in there. It's pretty much a statistic tool, but it's making their job evolving. Basically, you're going to have more personalized education. If I stay in this industry for the time being, because every single student is different, so they all learn differently, and so they can all use technology differently. And it's not only about AI; it's also about what about augmented reality, virtual reality, extended reality. Let's see that I'm absolutely horrible in math. Math is my black subject. I can't stand it and everything. But you make those algorithms, those mathematical different angles in an engaging way using AR, for example, augmented reality. So let's just think that you're on a map and you go like on any type of games like Monopoly, for example, and when you land on one card, well, you'll learn, and I'm saying stupid things here, but you'll learn about how you do a division. You'll learn how to make a multiplication. You'll learn how, you know, every single angle of mathematics, for example, you'll learn it in an engaging and virtual way. So yes, it's different for the student. It's also different for the teacher, but it's win-win for both. Even though they both have to change, It makes their lives, you know, better in the sense that at least if I were a teacher today, my number one priority will be the success of my students. I guess we can share that vision, you and I, right? And so if you can use technology to make your students more successful, if you can use that technology to make your students more engaged. I mean, there's nothing worse. I'm going to give you a personal example of using technology at the worst time during COVID confinement. I had a class of about 35 students, all on, obviously it was confinement, so you could only do it online. And I had 34 black square on my screen. they all had an excuse. Oh, sir, I'm using my phone. I only have 5G. I have no bandwidth. So I had no idea what these students were doing while I was talking, like I'm talking to you right now. And so, you know, we've evolved from that time. But at least we had technology that allowed us to continue classes and do all the tests at the end of the year, which was I was extremely grateful for it. And that's a fantastic tip when you think about it, because 10 years ago we would have had COVID. Well, then forget about giving any classes. So, you know, talking about education, yes, I totally understand everybody's worried and everybody's fears about the fact that their jobs are transforming. But to me, it's for the best. If you're looking at any type of marketing job, I used to do marketing a very long time ago when you would do a campaign and basically would take you about a year to see if your sales results have gone up or not, right? Today, it's real time. You're using AI, even if you're not using AI, because you know everybody's talking about AI and everything is AI powered these days. But even if you're not using AI, you are using tools that will allow you to check whether your engagement rate is up, SEO tools to see if your more people are coming to you to see your website, to see if you have more lead management, lead generation, all these things. You see, so marketing, even traditional marketing, because there I was only talking about digital marketing, but even traditional marketing is evolving because why? You are improving what we call CX, which is customer experience. And customer experience today is so important because we're used to having information at our fingertips. We're used to having the right information at the right time on the right channel at your fingertips. And so if marketer understand that and use the right technology for it, which could be a CRM, could be again virtual reality, could be again augmented reality, it could be again a chatbot. You know, today chatbots answer pretty much every single question, especially using generative AI.
Big picture is that each job has different tasks that need to be done. They have different technologies within each job, but also we have our private technologies that are crossing over because we are getting interrupted permanently. And this I believe is personally for me, I like to just mute most channels, right? So I mute most channels, but then there are maybe a handful of people who can interrupt me if they need to get hold of me. And I say, well, if you need to get me, you can get me on this specific channel. But if it's not urgent, then maybe send me an email or something like this. So for me, I think that's one of my sort of tips. So have you got a tip that you would give maybe executives who are perhaps thinking, well, you know, what sort of tips have you got for maybe an executive that could be in any kind of job role?
Well, the tip you just mentioned is actually really important. I have the same in your settings on Android. You can decide who can call, and even if your phone is off or at least on silent mode or anything, you know, my kids at any point in time, they know they can reach me because their numbers have been entered in their settings. So that's one thing.
Right.
Another right. tip that I can give to executives is to ensure that they know at all time what's going on. And this is where I was going actually with all my examples is today with all the different channels, you can, you know, obviously, you know, your boss, you know, who your employees are and that you know what best, how they best react. For example, I know I have colleagues that really only answer on Signal, right? So I send them a Signal. I'm terrible with that myself because I'm letting all my channels on. So I, you know, you send me a Messenger, you send me a WhatsApp, you send me a Signal. I'm connected, right? But it's true that I remember when I was head of communication for some Europe, I had, you know, 46 countries, thousands of employees. I needed to be available because I didn't want to find out that there was an issue somewhere and that, you know, I found out through the press. That's the worst thing that can happen to an executive. So what's actually, you know, really important is to make sure that you have communicated clearly and you have been extremely precise with your vision of how people need to contact you and how people need to use the technology to make sure that they have an optimized use of your time, right? Because, you know, an exec, you have meetings all the times, so you have to represent the company, you have to predict, you have to talk to investors, you have, I mean, yeah, you know, I'm not going to give you the overall the overall job description of an exec, but so, you know, at any time, and I have experience with other, with some clients where the client realized in the middle of a press conference that there was an issue with his company, and the journalist found out during the press conference because they are very connected. And so they got the information immediately, which we hadn't told the head of the company at the time. So there's nothing worse than being able to, you know, so the best advice I give to execs is ensure that you're comfortable with the tools that you put in place. Ensure you communicate extremely clearly with your teams what crisis management means, what the priority of level that where how and why they should contact you, and at least make sure that they understand your vision. So very regularly, what I give as a tip is to have a what I call a brand booklet available, which is everything from the positioning of the company, 25, 50, 100 words, the vision, mission, the history of the company, and things like that. So when the boss is not available, because sometimes he's not available when he's in the middle of a huge presentation in front of investors, that's really the worst time to connect with the exec. Well, at least you know that everybody will have pretty much the same message to a journalist or an investor in Croatia or in France or in Italy or things like that. So there's a real need to ensure that the technology is at the service of all everyone in the company, and that it's not only about the exec, but that everybody knows, you know, what the rules are. And that's to me, that's the best tip I could give in terms of technology. The other point that I really wanted to emphasize today is the fact that don't be scared of technology. When you hear of a new technology, the first reaction, what I see with my clients is, well, it's another thing I need to learn. Oh, I can't believe it. You know, will we stop? Well, the answer is no. We're on a journey that will never stop. You can't go back. You can't turn around. You're on a journey. We are going to see things. And, you know, today we're talking the end of February 2024. I guarantee you in 3 months' time, we'll probably be talking about something different that you and I have not even heard of today. Look at what happened with OpenAI, right? In the matter of seconds, or maybe not seconds, maybe I'm exaggerating a bit, but in matter of
days.
That's what it is
like, really, in a way. But all of these jobs that people are doing, they are going to change, and some of those jobs may not be there anymore. Some will be improved, but I do think that people are actually, if they embrace the technology, and if you're not very good with technology, then I suggest maybe you take a little time to think, well, you know, what am I not good at? I mean, for me, I love to have two screens, right? Like, yep. I work with two screens. And I was talking to my friend the other day because I'm thinking of moving. And I was just like, well, actually, you know, I need my desk in there. So I'm gonna move a dresser from this new place I'm moving to and take my desk, because I've got my two screens. I've got my light, I've got my setup, I've got my video camera, I've got my microphone, I've got my boom arm, I've got, you know, my desktop computer. Like, everything is robust and it's solid, right? Yeah. And you know, I mean, there are so many tips, because you know, there's actually so much involved. I mean, just as one tip, which I think is for me one of the most useful tips, because I write a lot of stuff and I need to find things within huge texts, right? So using on a Windows machine, Control F, right? That gives me the ability to find a word or a number of words that maybe need changing or in fact, that I need to get to that as a point of reference for perhaps someone else. So there's so much stuff that you can do now also with WordPress, which is used by billions of people probably now. Definitely hundreds of millions, actually would you know, you wouldn't know it's a WordPress site, but WordPress is a website builder system, but it's also got all sorts of plugins and all sorts of things. And in my opinion, I think you can... Yeah, which you can optimize and make fun, but it's like actually there are going to be some things that you really don't like to do. Like that's the thing that I'm kind of aware of. It's like, look, I really don't want to be doing X, Y, and Z. So then I go to Fiverr.com and I will find someone on Fiverr and I will look for them. And it's not rocket science, right? Or you go to Upwork and you find someone. Or don't be afraid of trying to be secure, right? As well. Like That's the most important thing is security, right? It's actually having a good password, having maybe a password manager if you don't want to write your passwords down, always changing your passwords. You know, you're going to have to go to your security team and speak to them. If you think you're using devices at home and you're using at work, you're going to have all sorts of policies that you need to follow. And, you know, there'll be all that sort of stuff, right? All that sort of stuff.
The most important thing, if I may, today is that every single tip that you need is at your fingertips. I'm sorry about the play on word, but let's say that, you know, you hear about something that you've never heard of before. You have generative AI where you can ask a question. You have Google where you can ask a question. You go to Fiverr, you mentioned it. Yeah, I was actually about to say it, but you and I have been working so much together for the past several years that actually we have the same brain, which is scary for you, not for me. And what I'm saying is, you know, when 20 years ago you had an issue and you needed a tip, the only thing that would work was your network. Basically, what friend should I call in order to get a response? Today, you don't need to call a friend. Of course, you can still call a friend, but if you are, you know, and it's pretty confidential and anything, either you have your own mentor that, you know, where you've built a good relationship with, that you feel comfortable with. Again, you have tools. I mentioned generative AI, which is one of them. In Google, you have many, many blogs and forums that can also help. You can ask a question pretty anonymously and get also an answer. I mean, regularly, you know, I'm faced with issues that, you know, I don't know everything. I'm, you know, and I don't know what I don't know, right? And I'm saying pretty much everybody can agree to this one. But you have people who have experience, and I have experienced things that probably you haven't experienced. And so, you know, by sharing that experience, and that's why I write a lot on LinkedIn and on other platforms, because I want people to say, well, great, you know, this is adding value to my life. This is adding value because I needed a tip because I have an issue with an employee, I have an issue with a product, I need to do a product recall, I need to do a crisis management, I need anything. You can find everything. So the beauty of this, what I'm saying is humans need to stay at the center of all this. Yes, you can get the information online. Yes, you can get tools to help you out. But at the end of the day, you are the one who makes the decision. And this is why it's so important is, you know, because regularly I hear, but then if I ask a tool, then why am I needed? Well, you need it because, yes, the tool can give you some tips. But at the end of the day, it's for you to implement the tips and for you to realize what works within the value of the companies that you're working for or working with. And that's the key message. And that's why I wanted to say based on what you said just before.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I think it'd be good to talk more about the best use of technology at your fingertips, right? And we talk about this a lot. And I mean, I think, for me, it's about making sure that I'm only doing one thing at once, because whilst we all love to think that we can multitask, right? It's actually a very, very small proportion of the world that can multitask. So I think let's get that out of the way. You know, first of all, that's absolutely massive. I think using Control F or whatever it is on a Mac to actually search within whatever it is web page for certain information is also very useful. Using whatever AI tools your company has furnished you with, that's going to be very, very useful. Is there any what else do you think, Nicholas, that we can talk about here?
Well, as I mentioned to you, I mean, it all depends in what industry and what type of role you're in. If you're in finance, at your fingertips, you know, being able to predict information. And I hear regularly, as you know, I do a lot of speeches and conferences. And so regularly I hear different type of scenarios. I hear, hey, I'm a small company. We're less than 10 people. I can't afford an AI tool, for example. Well, sorry to say, but AI tools today are at everybody's fingertips. You can decide to use an AI tool that's going to cost you $10 a month, right? Yes, it will give you the same type of information than your competitor, but at least if you don't use it, you have less benefit than your competitor. You can use AI tools that are what we call low code, no code. And I know many of them. I'm actually a CMO of one of them in the UK. I would not mention it because I don't want this to transpire as being an advertising. But that low code, no code, we basically provide the staff. We work with the CEOs of the company or the CMOs, anybody who's interested in having these type of tools that manage basically schemes and models of AI. And based on that, without having any staff in IT, you can get your own personalized AI tool, right? And it costs, again, a few dollars a month. And then if you're a large company, I hear that also regularly, what do? You hire a data scientist, you hire a proper chief AI officer, because now it's a new title that has come up. Again, 2 years ago, that title I had never heard of, but today I have many customers who have chief artificial intelligence officers. And all this basically allows you to use any type of technology, because AI is one of them. But, you know, buy a PlayStation and use the virtual reality that it can offer. Many companies like Facebook today offer goggles that allow you also to live in a virtual world and try digital twins, right? Working for a city. I'm trying to cover, you know, as many jobs and as many industries I can. But today, when you work with a digital twin and you're, for example, in charge of roads in the city, where you can you can try everything on these digital twins on your computer, see if it works virtually, and then implement it in your towns. So I really do not see today an industry or a job that could not benefit from technology. And on top of it, for technology, as you said, is as an image, you know, it's the Control F type of situation. You can have any technologies, any type of tools for any type of jobs, any industries.
Absolutely. But I also think that keeping it very simple to your needs is very important. I mean, for example, just as simple as having a calendar scheduler, right? Having a simple link that you may send to people that gives them an automated series of emails to maybe remind them about the conversation you're going to have. And when it is, could be very, very useful, because if someone doesn't show up to your meeting and you wait around for 5-10 minutes, I have a 5-minute rule myself these days. I did stay on and for 10-15 minutes before, but now I have a 5-minute rule. If someone isn't there, then I'm off. And I know you're very punctual. That's why I love working with you. You know, so sometimes I've been late, I know, and I'm sorry, but generally I think that, you know, using the simplest solutions can make the biggest results. So, for example, if you're looking through a document and you want to get certain information from that document, you can actually, if you have a private kind of AI within your business, which we recommend because, you know, it's much safer to, you know, you don't want your private information going out and about, but each company is going to have its own policies, right? And each job, like you say, has its own sort of way of doing things, right? But literally it's very exciting, I think, personally, at the moment. I think that there are lots of new technologies that are making people's lives way better. And we have so much on our telephones, yeah. I mean, literally, my friend said to me the other day, he's like, right, you need to come with me. I need you to help me because I'm renting this apartment out and I've got the bathroom is arriving and they just leave it at the door. So you get a guy show up with a lorry and they leave the bits by the door, right? Because they don't want to carry it up the stairs. So he's like, give me a hat. I was like, all right, fine. All I had was my old iPhone 10, right? Which I'm still working on. It's a good phone. It works. It's fine. Yes, I could have a better camera. Yes, that will transform my life, having a better camera, but it's okay for now. I don't really need an iPhone 4, 15, whatever. But also, it's actually working out what you can and what you can't do on that specific device, because it's certain things are very difficult to do on that device, whereas other things aren't. So then it's like, oh, okay, so I'm in this car right now. I'm not driving. Okay, my friend's driving. So what can I do that's going to move my job forwards right now? And then it's taking that device and saying, okay, I know that I need to go to Fiverr and I need to hire them to design something for me because I want something designed, right? And I don't want to do it myself. I want them to do it. It's cheap. And you push a button and they go and do it, right? So it's like, what messages can you send to people? Who can you hire? Who can you ask for help with whatever it is you want to deliver? And it's actually quite simple, right? But there are so many applications now and so many different things that we can get sort of overwhelmed. And for me, if I get really overwhelmed with my life and with tech, I actually was using ChatGPT before I switched to Gemini. I was using ChatGPT as a coach. And I had a thread in there that was really long. And I said, you are a Marshall Goldsmith top level executive leadership coach. And I'm very interested in sport. And I told them a bit about myself. And I said, and I want you to coach me in the simplest, easiest way with no fluff. I just want you to be as blunt as you can and tell me what's what. So every so often I would go in there, I'd be overwhelmed with all these tasks and lots of client kind of proposals to do and things. And I'd drop a message in there. I'd say, look, I'm really worried about X, Y, and Z. What do I do? How do I prioritize? And do you know what's interesting is that this model turned around and it actually coached me like my dad may have done, because my dad still is an amazing coach at the age of 90 years old. So it's kind of insane when you look at these things.
What I like is the fact it's factual, meaning that there's absolutely mm-hmm. no emotion, yep. no ego in place. And that's why it's really important, exactly as you said, you know, companies, how do they do to find the right person or whatever? It's like finding a yep. restaurant, right? Yep. You look at the reviews. It's exactly the same with people who could give you tips. And what you just said about ChatGPT or Gemini or any other tool, it will be factual because it will be information that has been pre-trained into the generative transformative technology. And that's why you like. There's a company in South Korea that actually, where the CEO has asked for a robot based on generative AI to be on the board. Because he said, I have 10 people on my board, 9 of them want my job. So obviously they have great reasoning, great information, but I want somebody who's going to be emotionless. And that's why he's added one person, one robot, that basically gives him the right or the factual information without thinking, oh, if I say that, then maybe my boss is going to like me more than the other one. So maybe I have a chance to replace him one day. See, that's exactly what you were talking about. So that's why, and the last point I wanted to mention before we go to another one is the fact that, you know, you said that people shouldn't worry and that, that they should use their AI because obviously all the businesses are different. You know, I'm putting my ambassador hat here, digital EU ambassador hat. We're working on the AI Act, which is really the first one in the world that is going to protect European citizens. And other countries are also working on it, like Brazil, like Canada. Obviously, we have China, we have US also working on it, but they're going to be different than what the AI European AI Act is going to be like. And the European AI Act is really based on transparency and trust. Basically, what we want to do and based on innovation, you know, we hear a lot of things saying, oh, legislation around AI is going to kill innovation. Well, absolutely not. What the AI Act is doing is it's promoting innovation, but putting together transparency, excellence, and trust. And this is really what's important. So people, when they'll use an AI tool, there will be a EC label in English, European Commission label, like when you buy a phone in Europe, like when you buy your headphone, headset, anything, they all have a C is the French one, EC label. And that label will guarantee that your data is safe, and that at least you will know where it comes from, and that, for example, if you're talking to an airline or whatever, you will know if you're talking to a real human being or if you're talking to an AI tool. And that's what's really important. There's another act which has just started last week, the Digital Services Act, which I wrote an article about, which is exactly the same thing. It's to protect everyone from abusive, if I could say, platforms that could, from one second to the other, say, oh, you're shadow banned or you're banned from that platform. Now in Europe, you can say, well, I want to understand why. I want to also ask for a judge to decide whether or not I should be banned from this platform. And so you probably have seen already a lot of platforms are putting it up and asking you questions about what kind of data you want linked to your account. They tell you, they give you the information that you're allowed now to contest, because in the past, and I have been shadow banned on a specific platform in the past without knowing what I did wrong. You know, one person is jealous of you. One person starts a report. And then without even investigating, bam, you can't access the platform anymore. Well, in Europe, it won't be possible anymore. Same thing with children. We are protecting also the access to some sites with children. And that's what we call the Digital Services Act.
Familiarize yourself, you know, with basically all of these platforms that you're using, all the tools that you're using, and you need to look for features that are going to help you. And this is very important. And also connect some of these platforms into other platforms and other channels. Work out what you can use on your phone, what restrictions you have with your company's information. There are all sorts of really important things that I think your IT managers, security people will tell you. So my personal opinion is familiarize yourself with your security tips. And also just be careful with clicking links. You know, there are all sorts of things. Clicking links is like one of the most dangerous things that you can do.
If you don't know where it comes from, just don't do it. Would you talk to somebody in the street that looks strange to you? No, it's the same online. Just the rules you abide for in real life need to be exactly the same you have in a digital
Absolutely.
World. And that's probably the best tip we can give today to people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, just have fun with it. Be curious. You know, Einstein said, be passionately curious. And I think that's the most amazing piece of advice that I've heard really over the years. And and I want to thank you very much, Nicholas. It's always appreciated. People can find you at nicholasbabin.com, can't they? I think Is that right?
NicholasBabin.me, but or just on LinkedIn. It's the best. They can find me everywhere. BabinBusinessConsulting.com, either otherwise, which is the name of my consulting company.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much. And do go and listen to some of our other talks. We've got lots of great talks that Nicholas and I have done over the years. And thank you once again for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for listening to Influential Visions. Please make sure you share this episode with your friends and business connections. And don't forget to drop us a review wherever you listen. Thanks.